So, we got a special treat for you tonight. I'm not preaching. Ah, no, special treat. But I just want to praise God for what He is doing amongst us. You know, it's really incredible to see how your lives are changing and to see faith growing in your lives and real relationships beginning to form between people. And I think that is so splendid. And I'm so grateful to the Lord. You got a special treat tonight because Dot's preaching tonight. Let's welcome Dot. No, not reluctantly. Father, thank you so much for Dot's life. Thank you for the reality of you in her. Thank you for what her life's about, Lord. Thank you that she is really, really a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I am so privileged to share this journey with her. And Father, I ask tonight that you will release Dot to bring to us whatever it is you've laid in her heart with total conviction that you've put it there and you will accomplish it in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's great to be with you all tonight. I just think that this place is like a little gem, you know, hidden away here in St. Peter's. So few of us, but so much gold in this place. So grateful to God. Amen. Grateful for every one of you. Amazing people. Yes. And I just want to really follow on from where Les was last week. Wasn't that a great word? Wasn't that faith-building and amazing and provoking and challenging and exciting and fun as well? So if you weren't here, go on the website and get the tape. I mean, get the podcast. when I was praying this morning, the Lord just said to me, faith is actually the currency of heaven. That's the only way, that's the only language that heaven speaks is faith, thanksgiving, praise, worship. And when we were praising tonight and we sang that song about, you know, all the angels and the elders bowing before God, I just had this sense that the angels who are around here, and sometimes because we're such a small group, I'm sure that they're singing with us. Don't you think so? Sometimes the sound is just impossible for a little group like us. And I know that they're around here, and I think that they look at us, you know, and they're amazed that some of us don't really believe God. You know, that we don't speak the language of heaven. We don't speak thanksgiving and positive affirmation because we don't believe God. And I was just thinking, you know, they must be absolutely amazed because they stand in the glory of God all the time. They know what He's like. And yet they haven't got a relationship with Him like we have. You know, the fact that God gave His only begotten Son, He came Himself to earth to demonstrate to us what God's like. You know, that is incredible. Absolutely incredible that He actually came. He did it all. He suffered and everything else. Suffered on the cross to show us how much He loves us. And people in this world, and even Christians, don't believe Him. They walk around with this ugly thing called unbelief in their hearts. And I'm going to gross you out. Les that says this is such a gross analogy, but to me it really makes sense. You know, the plaque that we get on our teeth, we have to floss every day, right, to get rid of plaque. Otherwise, it builds up and it actually kills the roots and it kills our gums and it gives us gum disease and it does terrible things. We could lose all our teeth when we don't floss them because of this evil little virus or whatever it is, bacteria, called plaque. We've got some doctors here. They know all about it. We normally have a dentist, but we don't tonight. But and I believe that unbelief is like that, that we have to fight it every day, every single day, because we have an enemy of our souls who is continually whispering in our ears like did God really say, like he did right in the beginning, you know, with Eve? He's always whispering, did God really say? Does that apply to you? You know, he's always spreading doubt and fear and distrust and unbelief. And we've got to fight it every day. And that's what I think Paul is talking about when he talks about the fight of faith. It's a fight for our faith. Our faith is the most important commodity. You know, when you get to the pearly gates one day, I wonder if Peter will be at the gates and he'll be saying, what do you do to qualify to get in here? And, you know, what are you going to say? You know, are we going to be like the little old lady who said, you know, I was always good to people and, you know, all that stuff. Well, we know that. We're born again believers. We know the stuff. But what is your ticket into heaven? What is it? Tell me. Come on, guys. The blood of Jesus. Faith. Faith is the language of heaven. You can't get in unless you gave your life to Jesus, unless you declared, you know, when you gave your life to Jesus, you declared that your faith in him, that is your declaration, and that is who you are now, and you're a blood-bought child of God, and so that's how you get into heaven. But I believe that on this earth, faith is still the currency of heaven, that everything that we have in God is through faith. Everything. You know, the fact that you're sitting here is by faith. And maybe some of you, your testimony goes back like hundreds of years when you actually gave your life to Jesus and all of that. And maybe there isn't a huge amount since it's been happening by faith. But I want to encourage us all tonight. I've been praying and fasting today and really saying to the Lord, please, please, will you release the spirit of faith in this place? Will you give us supernatural faith in this place? You know, for us to sit here, a few of us, and believe that God is going to send us a youth revival, that takes faith. But I'm beginning to get it. It's beginning to stir in my heart. And I'm looking at all these empty chairs and I'm just saying, thank you, Jesus, that these are going to be filled, that they're not only going to be filled, but they're going to be filled to the back. They're going to be filled up there. We're going to have to get a bigger building because God is going to start bringing these people who we are going to reach. You know, they're not going to just suddenly merge and come out of the ether and kind of walk into church. I mean, why would anyone want to walk into this building on a Friday night? You know, really. Except if we are so wonderful and attractive and we invite them in and we show them that we serve an amazing God who even in this funny old religious building can show himself and give us his presence. And touch our hearts and change us and do awesome, amazing things if we believe it. So I just felt like, you know, how has your week been, everyone? Have you had good weeks? Are you soaring in the heavenlies? Some are, hallelujah. Some are, yay. But I think for most of us, we, you know, there are a few challenges while we live on this planet, quite a few. And the most amazing thing is that Paul, James, Peter, just about all of them in the New Testament, keep saying to us, guys, it's good when you're going through a trial. Rejoice. And, you know, we sort of think, oh, for heaven's sake, you haven't a clue what this trial is all about. You know, if you knew, you wouldn't be rejoicing. You know, I want a bit of sympathy here. I don't want somebody to come and kick my butt and say, come on, believe. But God is seriously saying to us, count it all joy. Now, Bill Johnson uses that phrase. This is from James 1. The Abrys have arrived. Hello. In James 1, if you want to find it. No, but that's the message. So let's go to that. Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. Get that? Consider it a sheer gift. Can you go on? You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. Isn't that amazing? So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. in other versions it says until you are mature and complete, not lacking anything. Isn't that amazing? So let's just read that again. Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. Spelling error mine. Isn't that amazing? And Graham Cook, who I've been listening to quite a lot recently, I think he's amazing. He says, when a trial comes, rejoice, guys, because God is setting you up for a promotion. Because if you come through that trial in the way that God plans for you to come through, you are going to be more mature, more full of faith, more full of joy, more full of love, more full of patience, more full of kindness, all the things that God is trying to develop in us. You know, our whole journey on this earth, to me, is a faith journey. But it's by faith becoming more like Jesus. That's what it's all about. I think that's why we're on this earth, to become more like Jesus. And so, you know, God's aware more than we are of our rough edges. And so I don't think Graham Cook actually believes that sometimes God actually, like with Joseph, it says at the end of Genesis 45, that when Joseph sees his brothers, he says to them, you didn't do this to me, God sent it. God did this. He says it three times. Now, some people really have a problem in their theology with that God would actually send us difficult things. So, we'll find out when we get to heaven one day. So, he either sends it or allows it, but it happens, all of it. All of us, it happens. And God is wanting us to respond in the right way. And that just excites me. It really excites me because it's a challenge. And it means that God is on our cases. And he's saying, you know, I'm aware of your faith right now. I'm aware of the true colors of your faith. You know, we can think we're doing well until we hit a trial. And then you really, you know, it's like when you get mad. And suddenly swear words come out of your mouth and you thought, oh, gosh, I've been redeemed about, I don't know, 10 years or something. And I still can say that stuff. It's just that it's there. Pressure brings it out. But in under pressure, we begin to see what we really believe. And if faith is the language of heaven, is the currency of heaven, it's really, really important. In fact, if we go to Peter... And just, just 1 Peter 1. Amazing. I love Peter. I always did love him all the way through, even when he was wild and unregenerate and crazy and big mouth and everything. He's so much like me. Can we have it up? Just from verse 3. So praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And into an inheritance, guys. That's what we're heading towards, an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Kept in heaven for us. Hey? I mean, what? How can we ever be upset or sad or depressed? Is there something before that? Through faith. So, this inheritance. Anyway, we. and into inheritance that can never spoil. Kept in heaven for you. Carry on. Who, through faith, are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is to be revealed in the last time. Carry on. In this, you greatly rejoice, right? Though now for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. So this is just par for the course, guys. This is life. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Isn't that incredible? So there, Peter, and Peter really knew what it was to suffer, you know. He was persecuted, and we've got to remember, you know, when we ask for fire, sometimes we cry out to God, give me fire, you know, let your fire burn. The refining fire, I think, is not a fun thing. You know, the fire came at Pentecost, but Pentecost led them into incredible persecution, suffering, great exploits in God, but also that other stuff. So we've got to be aware when we ask for fire. But I think that these trials are burning up the dross in our faith and leaving what's genuine. And to God, our faith is so precious, so precious. You know, it's language that pleases him. It says in Hebrews, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You know, it pleases him more than anything. And so, you know, what are some of the lies that we believe, guys, when we're talking about unbelief and things? What are some of the lies? Just tell me some of the lies. What are some of the lies we believe? Yeah, God can't love us more. Won't work for me. I'm not equipped. Don't deserve it. I'm not doing enough. I'm not good enough. I'm a failure. God's not going to give me a second chance. So many lies. I'm ugly. Nobody likes me. I mean, we all believe lies. Isn't that hideous? And they are like that. That's the unbelief. That's the, like the plaque. I saw Jonathan come just now, but the plaque on the teeth. You know, it just builds up. It just builds up. And we've got to fight it every day. But then the truth is that we are blood-bought children of God. We're chosen by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He has an incredible destiny for every one of us. He promises. He says, the plans I have for you are good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. You know, every single thing, that's what Les was saying last week about in the scriptures, in the New Testament, when with Jesus, everything happened by faith. Everything. You know, people received healing by faith. He says, your faith healed you. It's all the way through. It's just faith is the, come on, is the, yeah, exactly. So faith, this important commodity. And I just wanted to talk about, you know, a character that I love, is Caleb in the Old Testament. He's amazing. Because when all those ridiculous spies were saying, oh, the giants in the land, Caleb and Joshua were amazing. They said, no, we can do it, guys. They had faith. Everyone else was looking at the problem, and they were looking at God. And but you know what God says about that situation? He says, no one who's treated me with contempt will ever see the promised land, will ever see my promises fulfilled. And he was talking about the spies who, in a sense, despised him, treated him with contempt, didn't believe him, didn't believe what he said. Isn't that incredible? That's how God sees unbelief. He hates it. You know, he says, nobody who treats me with contempt will ever see it. But Caleb, hallelujah. Because also in the New Testament, you know, James says, if you're double-minded, if you have doubt in your heart, don't expect to receive anything from God. So it's not just the Old Testament. But God said of Caleb, because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I'll bring him into the land. And then later on in Joshua, I love this. Then Caleb comes to I don't know who he went to. Joshua. He must have gone to Joshua. And he said, here I am today, 85 years old. Leslie, that gives us great hope. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. And you know, I really believe that all of us need to get more and more full of faith, more full of passion, more full of energy, more, you know, like Caleb, 85 years old. And he was as strong and vigorous as he was 40 years before. You know, that's faith. And God honored him and gave him Hebron. And Hebron was, King David was crowned king in Hebron. This incredible place. And he just kept on saying, come on, give me this mountain. For 40 years, he was surrounded by the unbelief of all the Israelites. You know, who they could have really undermined him and pulled him down. And eventually he could have joined them and said, oh, well, will God ever do it? Will we ever get out of this wilderness? But he didn't. He believed God. And he was as strong then as he was later. And I just feel like, I mean, as he was before, I just feel like God really wants to stir our faith tonight. I think he just wants to give us a charge of faith, you know, like a revelation of faith. And so, you know, what is your faith barometer like at the moment? You know, if we had to say, you know, what's it like? Are you believing God for anything? Are you feeling excited about life? Are you feeling like it's going to get better and better? Yes? Come on, I want some affirmations. Come on, guys. Yeah. You know, the people that you're believing for, the unbelievers that are in your world that you're believing for, have you got that kind of spirit of faith rising up on the inside? Yes, we're going to see them saved. I mean, you are all the fishermen, huh? You know, Jesus said, go and make fishers of men. Go and fetch the men. And we need lots of men here. So guys, girls, we need lots of men here. And so that's only, you only do that by faith. You know, I'm on a sort of project at the moment. Wherever I've got time, wherever I am, I'm saying to the Holy Spirit, show me people. I just want to meet people. I just want to meet unbelievers. I have such a longing to meet them. I don't really meet many. And so, on Wednesday, I had a dentist appointment, and then afterwards I had some time, and so I was wandering through Kensington Gardens, and this beautiful sunny day, and I said, Lord, give me somebody to talk to, and there were just loads of people sitting on benches on their own. That is such a mission field, guys. I mean, all you've got to do is go and sit on a bench, and by faith, make a comment, lovely day, and if they respond, then you think, ah. Maybe. And it's not that I'm going to go and hit them over the head with a Bible and say, you need to get saved. But I just want to be a friend. I just want to connect with people. That's what we're called to do. Connect with people. Love people out there. And so eventually I sat down on a bench and I had something to eat, and I offered half of it to this woman who was sitting on the bench. She was a bit surprised. And that really got us talking. And eventually, I was there for about an hour and a half, and eventually I shared my whole story with her and how I got to know God and prayed. I said, can I pray for you? And Anita, her name was. She's not here tonight. I don't know if I'll see her again. She wasn't sort of like panting to know me, you know, or anything. But that's seeds. We are, you know, like just dropping seeds wherever we go. And we know that between the first time a person encounters or hears about Jesus, it takes about 14 encounters, seeds, exposures to the gospel, whatever, you know. So we can be part of that chain. Doesn't that excite you? We can only do that by faith. And so I just want to stir you tonight. And I don't want to be long and long-winded, and I can be. Amplified version and all that, as some of them know. But just so if your faith barometer is a bit low at the moment, you know, what are you going to do about it? Any suggestions? Read the word. Yeah, because doesn't Jesus say, Paul says in Romans that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And, you know, but we can read with faith, or we can just read. You know, we could sort of say, well, I'm going to go through the Bible in a year and read 8 chapters a day and be very legalistic about it and probably don't get a huge amount out of it. Or we might say, Holy Spirit, let's have an adventure. Show me, you know, teach me. Show me truths out of the Word that will grip my heart and give me some rhema words that are going to really change my life, because the truth sets us free. Knowing the truth sets us free. And so, you know, I think reading the Bible should be the most exciting thing. It's God's love letter to us. And it's a living word, you know. It's living. It's not just any old word. You've heard the stories of the guy who wrote, who moved the stone, who started writing the book to disprove the resurrection and got saved in the process. It's a living word. It's a living word. Wherever I go, and I'm praying in tongues, I pray in tongues a lot. I just keep releasing. I just keep saying, you know, send your light and your truth. I say that over mosques, and I say that everywhere. You know, send your light and your truth. God, that is scripture. That is the word which will not return void. And so it accomplishes that for which we send it. And the more we pray it over Muslims and people in the street, I pray it over Ealing. If we don't have a revival in Ealing, I just don't know why. But seriously, so we've got this word on the inside of us. And then what other ways would you suggest increasing our faith? Yeah, praying in tongues is great. I love it. You know, in Jude, it says, build yourselves up in your most holy faith by praying in the Spirit. And we know that that's not only tongues, but it is tongues. And that feeds our inner man, that feeds our spirit man. It's the most amazing thing. I listening again to Graham Cook, and he's had a terrible time. I think it was 2009 or 2010, where he really got afflicted with it was a brain virus, actually. He said he couldn't think, he couldn't speak, he could do nothing, he was in agony. And he said the only thing that he could do was pray in tongues. And he just lay on his couch day after day for months because he couldn't think. He couldn't get, and he's a thinker, you know, he's that's what he does. He couldn't speak either. All he could do was pray in tongues. And he said in that time, God restored his brain and everything else. We also know Caroline Leaf, if any of you have come across her, this amazing neuroscientist here. And she studied the brain, and she's done studies, and she found out that what releases in our brains endorphins, you know, the good happy hormones that make us feel happy and well and all of that, that those are increased or released through praying in tongues, through the word of God, through praise, through worship. Isn't God amazing? Isn't he amazing? I mean, scientists are only beginning to discover what we have. It's amazing. And but on the other hand, negative thoughts, negative thinking, stirring, all of that stuff releases negative hormones, like dangerous hormones or chemicals in our brains. So that's a good one to remember. So praying in tongues, then what else? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Jesus said that, didn't he? He said, you know, a person came to him and said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And, you know, all of us have got unbelief, various areas. Some have faith for healing. Some have faith for finances. But hardly any of us have got amazing, mega, supernatural faith for everything. And if we are, then we'd be Rhino Bonke or somebody like that. But, you know, we're all on a faith journey. And I think it's very exciting. Isn't it exciting? And so talk to God and just tell him. And then I'm going to finish now. But I've got an amazing passage that is in the Truth Version, which is Pastor Collins' version of the Bible, of the New Testament. And I've put it into first person. And I'm going to put this on the website, if that's okay. And I suggest that every one of us takes this passage and speaks it over our lives every day. For say 40 days, do a negativity fast. You know, because negativity is the plaque of the teeth. You know, unbelief. You know, because this is another thing. Do you realize the power of words, guys? Words are so powerful. If you say, oh, I'm getting a cold. Sure, you're going to get a cold. If that's what you believe, you're going to get it. Seriously. And yet we don't have to be quoting scripture and being super spiritual and all that. Can you just turn it off for 1 second? But, you know, the truth is, I feel like I'm getting a cold, but I am healed in Jesus, or I can rebuke it, or you know, he gives me health or whatever. It's so important. It's so important because we live under the words we speak. We really do. It's really powerful. That's why Ezekiel, you know, with the valley of dry bones, they prophesied to the bones and they came alive. We've got the power in our mouths with faith because we've got the word on the inside of us. We've got faith to speak it, and we've got the Holy Spirit as well. Ezekiel didn't have. To declare truth and to see things happen. Really, it's true. Do you believe me? And so I want to encourage you to do that. And so when you speak the word out loud over your life and declare it, things begin to happen. But it's not just a one-off, you know. It's just not like, oh, I'll pray in tongues for 10 minutes, see if anything happens. You know, this is a journey, guys. This is a journey and a fight. It's a daily fight of faith to keep our faith on and to keep believing. So let's go to the scripture, and then shall we all stand? And I think we need to say it a few times. 1, 2, 3. I ask that glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ may impart to me the spirit of wisdom and revelation of who he is and what he's done for me, so that I will come to know him better. It carries on. Also pray for my heart to be filled with light, so that I will see for myself and know in my experience the hope to which he's called me, the purpose he wants to see fulfilled in my life. What is this hope? That we, his saints, all those who belong to him, will enjoy the riches of a glorious inheritance, and that we may also know his power working in us because we believe in him, a power so great that it cannot be compared with any other power. Yes, the power that raised Jesus from the dead and caused him to be seated in heaven at his Father's right hand is that same power which is within me right now. Yay! Amen. Woo! Shall we do it one more time? It's amazing. I ask that the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ may impart to me the spirit of wisdom and revelation of who he is and what he's done for me, so that I will come to know him better. I also pray for my heart to be filled with light, so that I will see for myself and know in my experience the hope to which he has called me, the purpose he wants to see fulfilled in my life. What is this hope? That we, his saints, all those who belong to him, will enjoy the riches of a glorious inheritance, and that we may also know his power working in us because we believe in him, a power so great that it cannot be compared with any other power. Yes, that raised Jesus from the dead and caused him to be seated in heaven at his Father's right hand. Now let's just pray in tongues and begin to stir our faith, because somebody says, stir your faith, stir your faith.
Holy Spirit, won't you begin to uproot that unbelief in us, roots of bitterness or whatever stops us believing you, God. Oh, Darabasanda, you said hope deferred makes the heart sick. God, if there are sick hearts here today, Lord God, we cry out to you, Holy Spirit, will you come? Will you come and cleanse our hearts from unbelief? Will you come and cleanse our hearts from fear and doubt, Lord God? Shidarabayenda, just repent. If that's you, if you feel like you've been clouded, your whole walk with God has been clouded by unbelief, just repent. It doesn't have to take long. Just tell God. Tell God. Confess before Him. Do a work in our hearts. Holy Spirit, will you do a work in our hearts tonight? God, we don't want to be the same. We want to walk in supernatural faith. Lord God, we cry out to you. Will you plant in our hearts tonight supernatural faith? To believe you, God. To believe you, that you are so amazing. You're so glorious, Jesus. You're so glorious. We declare your wonders in this place tonight. Whoa! Shidarabasi kirabashe darabayandai. Soko koriandai yedarabasandai. Shidarabaye darabasi darabiyando. Shidarabiyandai. Sudarabiyadarabashe darabayandai. You know, Paul writes to Timothy and says to him, you know, stir the gift that's been placed within you through the laying on of my hands. And I believe that that's also faith. And we need to do that. We need to stir the gifts, but also the faith in our hearts. We need to stir it through these different ways, worshiping, focusing on Jesus and thanking him. You know, faith, the language of faith is praise and worship and thanksgiving. In all circumstances, rejoicing. That's God's language. It attracts his attention. It attracts the focus of his eyes, his affections towards us. Lord God, we thank you. And I really do pray, Lord God, that this church from tonight, we're just believing you for a change, Lord. We're believing you that we're also going to become outward focused, Lord God, that we're going to become like God scouts. Not talent scouts, but God scouts. Just looking for the people that you have your hand upon. Looking for those that you want to get saved. Looking for those young ones, Lord God. Whatever, Lord, old ones, everyone. But God, I thank you that you give us. In South Africa, we have an insect. It's called a chameleon. They have eyes. A reptile, whatever it is. They change color also. Have you ever seen one? They're amazing. If they're on a green thing, they go green. Do you have them here? Anyway, but they have eyes on the side. And I just pray, Lord God, that our eyes will become focused outside of ourselves and our problems and all of that stuff, God, and focused on you and other people. You said, Lord God, if we fix our eyes on you, you are the author and the perfecter of our faith. God, I pray that no matter what we're going through, that if there are trials this week, Lord God, I pray that you would supernaturally touch every one of our hearts, that we can begin to count. Amen. Begin to count. Think of all the good things that you've done. To start recounting to ourselves how great you are, how powerful you are, how mighty you are, and how mighty we are in you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus, we thank you Thank you, thank you. How can we thank you? How can we thank you enough, God, for what you did in laying down your life for us? Jesus, just I pray that you'd give us again that sense of awe and wonder. Won't you release that amongst us, God? Not that we'd be heavy and somber, but that we would be amazed. We'd be again amazed that you would do this for us, Jesus, because you love us so much. And God, I believe that when you went on that cross, that you had in your heart every one of us. You really had every one of us in your heart. And you did it for us. You suffered the nails in your hands and the crown of thorns on your head. I can't even imagine the pain. I can't even begin to visualize the pain. But Jesus, you did it for us. God, restore our awe to our hearts again. Because you truly are awesome. And I pray that as we break bread tonight, God, that you would just release, yeah, that awe and wonder and such a love for you. Such a revelation of how blessed we are. God, even if you did nothing else, just what you did in restoring us to Father, removing our sins, healing our diseases, that's enough. And yet you still heap blessing upon blessing upon blessing in our lives. You answer prayer. You are awesome. Awesome God. So we just thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your body broken for us and your blood shed for us. And we thank you that by faith tonight we can take our healing. We can take our deliverance. We can take provision. We can take whatever we need because that's the banquet that you have for us, God. Everything that we need. Everything that we need, peace in our hearts. So come and get it, guys. Just come and meet with God as we break bread.
Recently, I had a decision to make and wasn't really sure what way to decide. And someone said to me, what feels more like walking on water? And it really struck me like that's how we should make decisions. And what feels more like walking on water? And are we brave enough to do that? Because we might think that we are, but then start to lose sight of who God is and start to sink. But if that's how we live our lives and how we make decisions, God's faithful for the consequences of those decisions, and we don't have to worry about that bit. We just have to make the decision to choose walking on water.
Yes. Can I ask you, that's amazing. Each one of us have got something that we know would take a walking on water experience if we were going to go there. Would you get with somebody in the room, it doesn't matter who it is, and just say to them, pray for me. You might want to tell them what it is, that you are facing the big test, that I want this. I want the faith to be released in my life to do this. Or it might be something you're believing for. Where is it that you want to see the borders removed from your faith? And just pray for each other right now, just to be released into the greater faith. It might be that you're going to go off on a mission, might be that you're going to start something, do something, or even just change jobs.